Following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, October 14th, 2019.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She knows everything you do, because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. And with me at the board is my friend, my partner, my engineer, my co-producer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
What a beautiful, beautiful day it is here in Sonoma County. And also, we had just a marvelous weekend. I can't believe how much canning I've done and how, you know, with figs and all the wonderful fruits that are coming on the trees. I mean, I can't believe I'm becoming a true domestic goddess. Well, I have two special guests with me this morning. Joining me on the phone from a stopover in New York is Kira Martinez, the founder of Love Without Borders for Refugees in Need. And joining me in the studio is Vicki Trapias, is a dependency attorney representing children in San Francisco, a job that she's held for 14 years. Additionally, Vicki is a parenting coordinator in San Francisco and Marin, assisting families involved in high conflict custody disputes. You know, it's very, very interesting. And also, Vicki has been working on bringing awareness to the community about Love Without Borders, a fascinating program that they're working with children in some of these war-torn, occupied areas and working with them with art. And I'm very familiar with working with children with art. I think it's absolutely wonderful that they are able to go in and do this, because when you start thinking about it, children are really, really traumatized in these war centers. And they have to find a way to express themselves. So I'm really looking forward to this interview to hear about what these two, and again, these are perfect women for our show, two ordinary women doing extraordinary things. And also, I'm going to do something a little bit different for today's show. Part one, we're going to be talking about Love Without Borders, this program for refugees across the globe. And then on part two, when we come back, you know, October is Domestic Violence Month, and as a result of the United States federal government, they did the Violence Against Women Act of 1994, which has not been ratified again, which is very, very interesting. And here we are in October, once again, 2019, Domestic Violence Month. And so I'm going to have a conversation with Vicki about that. We're going to talk about some of the causes, some of the emotional issues around domestic violence, and some solutions, I hope. I hope we can come up with some solutions. It seems to be, in our country particularly, violence seems to be right in front of our face, day after day after day. And there has to be something, some way that we could turn this around. Well, I have quite a few announcements today to make. This Wednesday, which is the 16th of October, we've got two wonderful things happening. One, in the afternoon, the National Organization for Women, the Sonoma County chapter, will be meeting at the Round Table Pizza on Guerneville Road at from 1 to 3. That's on Wednesday, the 16th, on 1 to 3. And then in the evening, and a big shout-out to KBBF. They are so supportive of the community, and I hope my listeners out there are supportive of them. But what's going to be happening is on the evening of Wednesday, October 16th, we're going to be showing the movie Iron-Jawed Angels, starring Hilary Swank and as Alice Paul and Frances O'Connor as Lucy Burns. I have seen this movie at least four times, and believe it or not, I'm interested in seeing it again, because every time I see it, it gives me more and more of the historical perspective of what happened in the suffrage movement from 1916 to 1920. This is a moving presentation that takes a fresh look at the events in American history from 1916 to 1920. It's a free event. And also, what's happening at the event, I am so excited, the 19th Amendment Centennial annual 2020 suffrage calendar, which includes local and California heroes, is going to be launched at the event. It's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful calendar. And I want to tell you a little secret. In the calendar, we have Lucy holding a little sign. So if you want to see what Lucy's holding, you got to come down. That's this Wednesday, October 16th from 6:30 to 9. A discussion will follow, and it's going to be at radio station KBBF right down here on 1700 Corby Avenue in Santa Rosa. And listen, seating is limited, so come early. Don't miss it and come early. But it really sounds like a great, great event. And another thing that's happening that I think is going to be a real fun event is on Sonoma County Women Who Help Win the Vote. And there's going to be a special panel presentation, and that's going to be on Saturday, October 26th from 10:30 to 12:30 at the Rincon Valley Library at 6759 Mendocino Boulevard in Santa Rosa. And it's free. And, oh, my goodness, the lineup is amazing. We've got Gay LeBaron, our Santa Rosa historian and author and longtime Press Democrat columnist, Molly McGregor, one of my dear friends, who's the executive director and co-founder of the National Women's History Alliance. We got Alan Guillotine, who the Historical Society of Santa Rosa. It's really amazing. We have a historical society in Santa Rosa, which is very, very exciting. Then we're going to have Mary Doglin from West County Historical Society and Peg Rogers, the Sonoma County Commission on the Status of Women, and she's going to be talking about this. So that's women, Sonoma County women who actually helped win the vote. So that should be really, really a wonderful event. So that's going to be on October 26th. And as you know, everything that I announce is on the website, www.womenspaces.com. So if you don't have a pen and pencil to write all this stuff down, it's all on the website. And a wonderful thing is happening on Friday, October 18th at 7 o'clock at the Peace and Justice Center at 467 Sebastopol Avenue in Santa Rosa. It's going to be another film. It's going to be Mumia, a documentary that explores Mumia's past politics, imprisonment, and his effort to educate and inspire. And the film has a commentary from Alice Walker, and that's going to be this Friday, October 18th at 7 o'clock at the Peace and Justice Center, and that's going to be at 467 Sebastopol Avenue in Santa Rosa. So there's a lot going on, and there's no reason, there really is no reason that people should be bored or be complaining, hey, I have nothing to do. Here we have two free movie nights in one week, you know, here at the KBBF with Iron Jawed Angels, and then at the Peace and Justice Center to see the whole thing on Mumia, which is going to be, I know, a very inspiring and informative movie. Well, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about a program called Love Without Borders. It's a nonprofit organization that was established to assist in the settlement of the lives of women and their families through the efforts of community service and special projects. You know, it's real interesting. They have a thing, Love Without Borders was founded on the principles of God's unconditional love. Well, you know, it was real interesting. I am very... I'm a little bit hesitant when I mention God on the air, but one of the things that why I think that is so important that the word God is mentioned here, because there's so much God. This political person was appointed by God. This person has been chosen by God, and meanwhile they're pushing the buttons for war. Well, this is true. God is love, unconditional love, and this is what this program is based on. Love Without Borders are women from different educational and professional backgrounds who come together for one common goal, and that is to amplify love. And I think that is very, very important. And if you want to put God's love in front of it, fine. I don't care what you put in front of it. Love is love is love. And the way we're going to end war and the way we're going to overcome hate is by putting love is loving programs in any way, shape, or form that we can do it. And so, as you know, I always trying to find these songs, particularly by women that are singing a song that I feel is really important as part of the interview that we're going to do to kind of give us a musical thought on what we are talking about. So I found this great song. I think I played it once or twice. I'm not sure. But this is one of my I want to stand up sometimes. I want to learn how to sing it myself. It's sung by one of my favorite people, and that's Becky Hobbs, and it's called No More War. And the first line is, when women rule the earth, when women rule, there will be no war. Well, what's very interesting, two women here have started this thing, Love Without Borders. I mean, constantly, when I'm doing women's spaces, it's just a wealth of women that are involved in so many different issues. So I think this song is appropriate. I want you to enjoy it. It's Becky Hobbs singing No More War. And when we return, once again, joining me in the studio is Vicki Trapias, is a dependency attorney representing children in San Francisco. And also, we will be talking with the founder, Kira Martinez, the founder of Love Without Borders. And I think this is going to be a really inspiring interview. So let's go ahead and listen to Becky Hobbs, No More War.
Every race and land, creeping
my goodness, can you imagine all of us out there imagining no more war? I mean, what does it bring us? You know, it's interesting. All wars are fought in the name of peace. Oh, my goodness. And freedom. And what does it bring? Nothing but orphans. Children, orphans. I mean, it's just a very, very sad situation. For you folks just joining us, you are listening to KBBF 89.1 FM Calistoga, Santa Rosa. I want to remind my listeners that the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of KBBF, its board of directors, its members, or Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And without further ado, I want to introduce my two guests. On the phone with me is Kira Martinez. Welcome, Kira, the founder of Love Without Borders for Refugees in Need. Welcome to Women's Spaces. Can you hear us?
Yes, thank you, Elaine. It's so nice to spend a little bit of time with you, and I want to thank you for the invitation today.
Well, I just have to tell my listeners that you're in a stopover in New York, and that's how we're able to talk with you, that you actually live in Greece. So welcome to Women's Spaces. And sitting with me at the studio right here is Vicki Trapilis. Welcome, Vicki. Vicki is a dependency attorney representing children in San Francisco, a job she has held for the past 14 years. And she's also a parenting coordinator of San Francisco and Marin. Well, welcome both of you.
Thank you.
How is the weather in New York, Kara?
I'm in Washington, D.C.
Oh, you're in Washington.
Yeah, it's okay. It's fine. It's fine here.
It must be buzzing around there with all the action that's going on, I would imagine. Well, before we start the interview, do you mind if I tell my listeners a little bit about both of you?
Absolutely.
Kira Martinez has made it her mission to help refugees who have arrived. And also, the reason there's a stopover is because Kira is a flight attendant, and she made it her mission to help refugees who have arrived in Greece after fleeing from their war-torn countries. Kira's mission began over 3 years ago after she volunteered to help refugees arriving in Frankfurt, Germany, where she was based. Her volunteer work in Germany eventually led her to Greece, where she visited the Kaliva camp in northern Greece in 2015. When I got to Greece, I saw the tragic condition which refugees were living, and I realized I needed to do more. After the trip, Kira founded the nonprofit organization Love Without Borders for Refugees in Need, which has allowed her to provide housing, teach English, and offer art sessions to thousands of refugees. You know, Kira, you are definitely an ordinary woman doing an extraordinary thing, and I want to welcome you here to the United States and also welcome you to the show. Is there anything you'd like to add, my love?
I would like to just add that behind the scenes, there's so many people, including Vicki, that are helping to support my project as well as the refugees that are displaced in Greece. So it's a teamwork. It's a global effort. And I really, really have to thank so many people all across the world.
Well, it's just wonderful that you had the vision to start something like this. And let me talk a little bit here about Vicki. Vicki is a dependency attorney representing children in San Francisco, a job she has held for the past 14 years. Additionally, she is a parenting coordinator in San Francisco and Marin, assisting families involved in high conflict custody disputes. And I'm sure that's where your domestic violence, and she's going to do the second part of our interview when we talk about domestic violence. To her current assignment, Vicki was an adult probation officer in San Francisco, and before that worked as a counselor at Juvenile Hall, also in San Francisco. In addition to her law degree, she holds a master's degree in social work and a bachelor's degree in social science and criminal justice. Last year, Vicki took an unpaid leave of absence and spent a year volunteering at the refugee camp in Greece. I imagine that was for Love Without Borders.
Well, that is where I met Kira. I was at a separate camp, but that is how I was able to meet her and get help with this work.
And she's going to talk a little bit about that. So both of you come from a very, very interesting background. I mean, you being a flight attendant, all of a sudden, you know, working with the airlines, going and probably doing all this different stuff, and then all of a sudden you come across this, all these horrible conflicts that are happening. Talk a little bit about what was your visit like in the camp at, and it's called Nea Kavala Camp in northern Greece in 2015. What motivated you to visit there, and how did it impact your life?
Yes, I had been helping in Germany, but I had realized that Germany had the structure as well as the resources to help the thousands of refugees that were arriving, and that's why I informed myself of other places that I could help and be of support. So I decided to volunteer in Greece, and it was quite a shock because the situation was very the conditions were very bad, and there wasn't a lot of structure or support in that particular area. So I signed on with a nonprofit, which I helped for about 3 to 4 months. But I realized that giving distributions for shoes and clothes was really not what I wanted to do. I wanted to be firsthand with those refugees and help to just to listen. Actually, that's how my whole project started, is just sitting in the tent and listening to their stories.
How did you come up with the name, and how did you see the goal for your organization? I mean, that it sounded like you were all of a sudden you see these people that are suffering. You want to do something. All of a sudden, you're starting this organization. You know, how did you come up with the name, and how did where did you get your courage? I mean, your confidence to go forward with it.
Well, everything took quite a lot of time. I must say I started out really small just by listening and starting to see how I could help and the best ways that I could help. And one of the first projects was to take out some of the families from the refugee camps that were living in tents and move them to Athens.
Can you describe the camp a little bit?
Sure.
I mean, what you saw. I mean, what was it? What was the most upsetting part, and what was it that you saw?
I believe just the people living in tents. They were really dilapidated tents. They had to use outhouses to go to the restroom. There was no hot water, and I thought, you know, this could be my sister. This could be my brother. I felt like there was something else that I could do, but at that time I really didn't know. So it did take quite some time. And there was one woman that I met, this was almost 4 years ago. She was 8.5 months pregnant and living with her husband in a tent. And I didn't know how quite I was going to do it, but I took her out of the camp and I placed her into a hotel near the camp so that she could still get services from the Red Cross that was working there. And we put her up and housed her for over 1.5 years until her asylum case was moved on to Germany.
But, you know, it sounds like your compassion and your empathy were your motivator, you know, looking at seeing the conditions. Vicki just showed me a picture of the camp, and I mean, I can't imagine living like that. I mean, it's just horrific, actually. And when you think of the reasons that these people are there, these wars that we don't even understand are happening, and all the children, the way they're suffering. And one of the things I noticed is that you're doing a lot of artwork, which we'll talk a little bit about a little bit later, about what the kids are doing. I mean, I was really, really impressed with that. So what steps did you take to develop the program, and who were your first sponsors? We're losing you, Kara. So I'm going to switch over to Vicki. Vicki, talk about how did you come up? How did you get involved with all this? What is your take on it? And also, you have become kind of a spokesperson locally for what is happening. And I imagine that's going to be for fundraiser. I even know you have an event coming up. So talk a little bit how you got involved.
Right. Well, I was at a separate camp from Kara, and there was a woman that was just creating this beautiful art, and, you know, often a way for people to work through their trauma and to get things out that are going on in their minds after having fled a war-torn country, the journey from their country of origin to Greece, living in these conditions with no running water, no electricity outside, it's cold, no schools. The artwork is just pretty stunning. So a volunteer introduced me to Keira, and she agreed to look at some of the art that the woman that I knew had made, and that's how we connected. And I think she might be back, actually.
Are you back here?
I'm here.
Yes.
Oh, good, good, good. So talk a little bit. Who were your first funders and what steps you took to develop the program?
So I basically used social media as a platform in order to reach sponsors, in order to reach many communities. And the way that it worked out was that many people saw my stories on Facebook, and they reached out and said, we can help with this family. We created campaigns, and we managed to move approximately 34 families out of the camp into houses in Athens, and then about 10 more families that were all 7 months pregnant or with newborn children. So that was a major task. It took about 2 years in order to move all of those families onto other countries and also to house them during that time.
How did you do all that? You know, working with the airlines. I mean, I'm imagining flight. You know, taking off, doing all kinds of different things. How did you manage that?
Yes, pretty much every second of the day is occupied with managing support for the families. Luckily, we have a very strong community of volunteers that even when I'm not in Greece, they're able to help and to visit the families that I'm housing. So, but yes, it's every day is really busy with supporting them and making plans for travel plans for their health and for all of these art exhibitions around the world.
How many families are actually in the camps?
I'm working in several camps, but the one that I'm concentrating right now on is about 100 people in Tiva, which is near Athens.
Well, you know, I know there are several different programs in Greece for the refugee issues that so many countries in Europe right now are experiencing that. What is different about your program? What do you bring to the table that maybe they're not offering?
I think my focus is that everything that we do, especially with the art projects and with anything that we try to initiate in Greece, is that 100% goes back to the refugees. They are living in really horrible conditions. I just went to visit Nea Kavala again after several years. The situation is even worse. So we just want to make sure that 100% of everything that we do goes back to the people that really need it. We don't have a lot of admin costs or fees, and most of our the people that help us are all on voluntary basis.
Well, it's an amazing program, I have to say. You know, so let's start coming into what's happening locally here in Santa Rosa in the Sonoma County area. It looks like on Sunday, October 27th, 2019, from 2 to 4, there's going to be a benefit concert for Love Without Borders. There's going to be an art show and a dance. And also the art show, I imagine the art show is going to be of the young people, some of the young people and what they're drawing. You know, I'm very familiar. I had a television show before. I've been with radio and television. Now I just do the radio. But at one point, there was an art show in Palestine that they were working with children, and it was amazing looking at some of the art, the way they express themselves, and also how healing it is for these young people. I mean, it feels like they have a way to express themselves. They're so bottled up. I mean, I can't imagine. imagine what it's like for a child to be living in those conditions. I mean, there's no reason for it as far as I'm concerned. There's no excuse for it, but it is happening, and it's great that there are people around that are willing to support it. And it's going to be at the Arlene Francis Center. So why don't you talk a little bit about that, Vicki? Talk about the event, and why do you think, what is important? I mean, when you start thinking about it, oftentimes we start thinking, well, those are refugees, they're over there, you know, why do I have to be concerned? And my feeling is, there but poor fortune, go you and me. You know, you got to take care of other people, because you never know, it could happen to you. And if you don't have ways to handle it, how can you handle it in a way? So talk a little bit about the event and why you think it's important. Why do you think people should support this important project?
Well, the event, as Kara mentioned, it will be a selection of art that is coming from the refugee camps in Greece. It will be art that children have created, women, refugee women and men, and we show it. We have it available for sale. As Kara mentioned, 100% of the proceeds for each piece goes directly to that artist, to the child and their family, so that they can buy things that are lacking in the camps, like some food, diapers, sanitary pads for women, different things that we really take for granted. And it's important for people to come because it's important for people to know what's going on in the world outside of their world. And this is a situation that can happen to any of us. And we never know, you know, we're only as safe as we are in that moment. And no, but none of the refugees that we've spoken with expected that this would be what their life would be like. You know, many of them were in their countries teachers and doctors and they had lives like we did.
Well, you know, you bring up an important point, Vicki. They had a life like we do, and how temporary and how important it is that we have peace on earth, that we learn to live together. I mean, what are we doing? I mean, everybody gives all these explanations or these logic. Oh, we're over here to protect this, or over there to protect that. And I just sit down and I say, what are we doing? I mean, there has got to be a better way than killing one another or putting all these people, especially the children. You know, you talk about, you know, we have all these people, you know, running around, you know, talking about God and talking about the Bible and everything. And, you know, if you believe in the Bible, there's actually a passage that says a child's going to lead the way. Well, if a child doesn't learn how to live in peace, what way is it going to lead us?
Right.
So, I mean, so what, talk a little bit about, so it's going to be at the Arlene Francis Center. It's going to be from 2 to 4, and you'll have the art there and dancing. Are you going to be there? Who, anybody?
I will be there representing Love Without Borders, and we also have a PowerPoint where we show who the artists are. And what we do is connect the artist with the person who buys their art from here. And I know Kara can also speak on this. We've created so many bonds and connections and relationships with people here and refugees there. And it's a way to help people feel that they're not alone. So it's not us, you know, people giving and just doing and passing things out or distributing things to them. It's empowering them so that they can feel that they have some ownership in their lives.
But also, it's almost like a pen pal. In a way, like you have a friend that you're helping in another part of the world. And I think something like that, when I think about it, would lessen your frustration. You know, so many times you sit in front of your television and you say, oh, what can I do? And here's something to do. Well, would you like to add anything to that, Kara, about some of the events that you've had across, we're almost coming to the end of this segment.
Okay, the events have been really amazing because we're creating awareness and planting seeds, and that's really important for us. And we know that it's a very overwhelming situation in Greece and elsewhere, but sometimes just to help one person is a start. And that's really what we want to let people know. We really appreciate just the start and the initiation of that.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you say that. You know, one of the things, like, people will ask me, how many people listen to Women's Spaces, and I say, listen, I hope there's that one person out there that I say something that maybe it can change their life, maybe they'll do something, maybe they'll feel a little bit better about themselves. Well, I'm going to have, how's about if I have Vicki give us the website and go over how they can do some contact, and then we'll have some last words.
Okay, and the website is www.lovewithoutborders4refugees.com. And a way to support Love Without Borders, of course, is you can go on the page and you can donate. You can also, if you're local and you're interested in hosting a show, we have many house shows that we do. Our goal is to have one house show every weekend, and I will come there twice a year. Usually, Kayra will be here with me, so we will do things together, and we present the art, tell the stories, and it's just amazing, and it's incredible to be able to then let the artist in Greece know that this is a picture of the person here in this country who bought your art, and it brings such joy and just shows them that there are people in the world that care about them.
Well, it sounds like it's done a lot for you also, as far as your own compassion and able to do something in the world.
Yeah, it's been a blessing for me to meet Kayra and to be connected with this program, because she really has established this forum for people who want to help and don't know how and feel overwhelmed to actually help. You know, she has set everything up for volunteers who want to do something, or people in the community that want to do something. She can tell you exactly how to do and how to help. So please do visit the website and send us a message, and you can connect with myself, with Kayra, and we will just keep this going.
Well, I really appreciate this interview. I mean, it's so inspiring to see what you're doing. I mean, like I said at the beginning, two ordinary women doing extraordinary things, and you, Kara, just coming up with the idea through your compassion and empathy. I mean, it's really a joy to talk to you. Are there any last words or any last thoughts that you'd like to share with our audience?
Just a lot of gratitude and thanks to all of your listeners. Just by taking a little bit of time to be informed, listening to the stories and sharing our stories on Facebook is really helpful. So we appreciate it if you want to follow us on Twitter and Facebook, etc.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much for being on Women's Spaces. And I want to remind my listeners one more time that there's going to be an event for the Love Without Borders on Sunday, October 27th from 2 to 4. And that's going to be at the Arlene Francis Center at 99 West 6th Street, Santa Rosa. They're asking for a $10 donation. If there is that you want to find more information, go to info@traditionalfund.org. Or go on to traditionalfund.org. Oh, I like that. traditionalfund.org/GRADINA.html. And like I say at the every program, all this information will be on www.womenspaces.com. And also, you know, we're asking you to support, you know, the refugees and all the things that are going on. And every week, Women's Spaces is on. And, you know, I'm on KBBF 89.1 FM Calistoga every Monday morning, and I want to do a shout out to the station for the work they do to keep it on the air, and the shout out to all those of you out there who contribute, and anybody out there who wants to contribute. All you have to do is go online to www.kbbbf.org. That's KBBF.org. Look up to the right. It says donations, and just go for it. You can become a member. You can become a sustainer. You can become an underwriter. You can refer. You can donate a car. There's a million ways that you can support KBBF. Well, we are going to take – I want to thank Kara Martinez from Love Without Borders. Oh my goodness, what a great show, what a great program it sounds like. And also Vicky Taparias for being with me. And now we're going to go into the second part of our segment, which we're going to talk about. October is Domestic Violence Month, and so we're going to talk about that. And I'm going to play this song. We're going to take a musical break, and I'm going to play this song called Quiet, sung by M-I-L-C-K. That's the name of the group, I guess, Milik. And when we return, remember, October is Domestic Violence Month, and when we return, I'm going to be talking to Vicky Trapeas and I've asked her to remain to discuss this issue. I did. Okay. Anyway, we're going to take a musical break, and I'm going to be playing the song Quiet.
Put on your face. Know your place. Shut up and smile. Don't spread your legs. I could do that, but no.
A song. I mean, really, you know, I love the beginning of it. Put on your face, know your place, shut up and smile, don't spread your legs. I could do that. I mean, it just reminds me when I was growing up. I mean, it seemed like everything was focused on the outside of you rather than the inside, rather than how you feel or what you're thinking. It's kind of interesting. Well, welcome back. You are listening to Women's Spaces, and I am your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And joining me in the studio to cover this subject for her second interview, actually, Vicki told me at the beginning of the show, this is the first time on radio, and I think she's doing a wonderful, wonderful job. So thank you for taking on the task. So Vicki Tapolis, thank you so much. And let me tell just a little bit about you again. Vicki is a dependency attorney representing children in San Francisco, a job she's held for the past 14 years. Also, along with working with Love Without Borders, which seems to be another passion of her life right now. She is a parenting coordinator. What does that mean, a parenting coordinator in San Francisco? What does that job entail? Anne Marin, assisting families in high conflict custody disputes.
So when parents are going through a divorce or separation and there's custody issues, rather than returning to court for every issue that comes up, they will agree to a parenting coordinator to work with them for a term. and they bring their issues to the parenting coordinator, and we either resolve them by talking about them, but the parenting coordinator has the final say. If there's no resolution, then the parenting coordinator can say, this is the outcome.
What is usually some of the prime things that happen? I mean, is there one specific, or is it just a multitude?
It's a multitude of things and things that come up every single day over big issues as where will the children go to school, and smaller issues. You know, I want to make sure that these clothes come back when the child spends the 3 days at this parent's house. So there's just a multitude of issues.
Oh, it must be, you know, the world, when you look at the world or some like yourself, it must be heartbreaking, some of the stuff that you see. I mean, I wish we could just come together. Well, talk about, how did you become involved in this? What attracted you to it, to be working in this area? And it is Domestic Violence Month, you know, and it's very important. I mean, I know when I was growing up, I never even heard the word domestic violence. So talk a little bit about what attracted you, and what is your definition of domestic violence?
Okay, and I just want to also loop back and say the heartbreaking part, I think, in all this work is the impact on the children of the domestic violence, of the wars that are going on in this world, of the conflict between parents. It's really the impact on the children. And we as adults, you know, if there's a way that we can get some insight into our behaviors and how we can shift things and make things different so that our children don't repeat that cycle, I think for me that's the ultimate goal.
You know, I think of life, you know, like when you put money, say, for example, you put money in a bank that has interest, you know, you earn a little money on it. Well, the more you invest, the more money you can make. Well, the more you invest in children, the better children you have. And when you have, what are we investing in them? We're teaching them violence. We're teaching them unhappiness. I mean, when the war torn, I mean, when I was talking with Kara, I was just imagining, and you showed me the camp, I said to myself, what is going on here? I mean, why can't we stop? And then when I was listening to the song, you know, No More War. But anyway, I don't mean to go on, but go ahead, continue with how you got involved. And what are some of your challenges? What are some of your major challenges in this field?
The challenges for me are to help people understand what they need to do so that they can have an impact. And you start with yourself. And I think it's so interesting that we're talking about domestic violence, because domestic violence does have such an impact on children that witness domestic violence in the home. And if we can find the strength in ourselves as the adults, as the victims or survivors of domestic violence, to take that first step and make that change, it will have such a huge benefit to our children. Because it's so hard, I think, when you're in a domestic violence relationship, and domestic violence can be physical abuse, it can be emotional abuse, it can be verbal abuse. There's such a spectrum of what constitutes domestic violence. But if we can find that strength in ourselves, or find that support in our communities, or with people around us, that we can make some changes.
Well, what's the first step? What is the first step usually? I mean, I know how difficult. I worked for a while back. I worked for the YWCA, and we did this program for women returning from school. And that's when I first start getting an inclination of what was going on in women's lives behind closed doors, so to speak. So what is the first step that you suggest if anybody is experiencing domestic violence in their life?
I think the first step first is to understand what constitutes domestic violence, because I think often victims, sometimes they are either so dependent on their abuser, or they've been so isolated from their abuser that they're not really sure. They really second guess whether this behavior is normal and what everybody goes through, or if there's something that's not right about it. So I think first is to educate yourself, each person, about domestic violence. And also, if there is something going on in your relationship that is constitutes domestic violence, to understand that it's not your fault. It's not something that you did wrong, or that you deserve this, or that there's a reason why you're being treated this way. It's not you. It really is the batterer and the behavior that he, and I use the pronoun he, because statistically, there's more victims of domestic violence that are women and perpetrators that are men, but it's interchangeable. So to educate yourself, to understand it's not something that you need to change in you, it's something that that person needs to deal with separately and on their own.
Do you find that when you're working with women that are reporting this and trying to do something, that oftentimes they beat themselves up thinking that somehow it's something that they're doing, that if they were different, they could change it, and oftentimes it's not, it's the other person? Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. I think women, we often tend to second guess ourselves anyway, but especially women in these relationships, they will think, if I didn't say that, he wouldn't have done this. If I didn't go there without telling him, he wouldn't have gotten mad. If I just had everything perfect when he got home, it would have been a better night. And that's not the reality of what is going on in that relationship. So it's...
Well, let me ask you another question here. You know, in 1994, the Violence Against Women Act, 1994, it was Title IV. And what it talks about is, let me just go through this. It says the Violence Against Women Act of 1994, it provided $1.6 billion towards investigation and prosecution of violent crimes against women, imposed automatic and mandatory restriction on those convicted, and allowed civil redress in cases prosecutors choose to leave unprosecuted. So, you know, here it expired. It expired, and they renewed it for a 6-month period, and then it expired again, and now it's kind of hanging in limbo. What was important about this particular, the Violence Against Act? What was important about this act? What did it provide, and what is the outcome from it not being renewed?
I mean, I think what's important, of course, would be the extra funding sources that could be directed into these programs and these offices that help to hold betters accountable and that help to provide resources for the women. But I also think the message that we send to men and to women when we don't ratify this act and we just let it kind of die off is that this is not an important issue.
Right, we're not acknowledging it again. We're not acknowledging that women are having these issues, and that, you know, there's a mentality. It's very interesting. I work for Athena House, and I recognize that there's a real mentality when it comes to violence, and there's kind of a helplessness and a hopelessness that makes people lash out like that. And so when you don't have the help, it continues, and it gets worse, not better. So what can we do to encourage something like this? I mean, what would you suggest? Are there any groups that you know of that are working to try to get this amended?
I don't know of any, but I'm sure that there are. So I think that absolutely to do some research and see what groups are in your community that are advocating and that are supporting this act, and also to let our officials, our elected officials know this is what's important to us. We want this. We demand this.
Well, I have to apologize because I had notes here with our domestic, where people can get help. There are three places here in Sonoma County, and I know in all other counties, I know you can call your Chamber of Commerce. They would have information, or you can, you know, just look in your phone book. But here in Sonoma County, we have a group called Verity, V-E-R-I-T-Y. They work. They have a hotline. We also have the Family Justice Center, which our district attorney has been very much behind and very supporting, our Family Law Center, which is very important. They also have a hotline, and they also work there. It's almost that the way they've set up the community, you can call the Family Law Center, and they will refer you to the right organization. And then if there's any men, there's a group here called Men Evolving Nonviolently that are really, really very much heavily involved with helping men that side of the equation, out that side of the family, to work with domestic violence in that area. And like I tell my listeners all the time, I will have those three connections and websites and telephone numbers on www.womenspaces.com. I'm really sorry. I don't know what happened with the notes. Well, is there anything particular, if there's a woman out there, for example, or a man out there, for example, that's experiencing this, what would you recommend? What's the first step? I mean, do they tell a family member? Do they make a call to a hotline? What's their first steps, you think?
I think making a call to a hotline, and I am more familiar with the programs in San Francisco, so like Casa de las Madres or to the Asian Women's Services, and you can Google everything these days and get numbers and websites. But I think that reaching out to someone who is not a part of the relationship, because when it's a family member, or they might have their own feelings about whether what's going on in your relationship. So really to reach out to a neutral person who can give you a cleaner perspective of what you're experiencing and sharing with that person. I think that that's critical.
Well, I want to thank you, I want to thank you, Vicki Tripitas, for being here with us and talking about domestic violence and also talking about Love Without Borders, which is really a great program. And a special thank you to Kara Martinez, founder of Love Without Borders. It was wonderful talking to her. A reminder, tell your friends, Women's Spaces will be aired again at 11 p.m. this evening. I'm excited I get to listen to myself. Also, I'm available for speaking engagements, and if you have any announcements like birthdays, anniversaries, please email me at www.womenspaces.com. Remember, our children are the future, and we must never, never lose sight of that. Why do I say that? Why do I say that? We were once children, and what was invested in us is what created us. So we have to look at it that way. What we invest in the children, we're investing in the future. And we need a future that is peaceful and loving and caring. And once again, this is Domestic Violence Month. And please check www.womenspaces.com for all the programs that are available here in Sonoma County. This is Elaine B. Holtz. You've been listening to Women's Spaces. Thank you for listening, and I look forward to being with you the next time.
The woman in your life, she can wait so easily. She knows everything you do, because the woman in your life is you. Because the woman in your life, the woman in your life.
The previous Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, October 14th, 2019.